Burn Line Podcast. The burn line on a well-crafted cigar is straight and sharp as a razor, much like our wit and wisdom. And what is up, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, children of all ages, over the age of 21, you are listening to Burn Line Podcast, coming to you not live from the Hot Box. The smoky back room where deals are struck and fortunes are made adjacent to the Phoenix Lounge, nestled amongst a complex of rooms that comprise tobacco on Main Street. I'm your host, Johnny Midas.
And I'm El Fumo.
I'm Tom.
Hi, Tom.
Hi, Tom.
And we smoke cigars.
Yes.
And today we are smoking the Davidoff Royal Release Salamones.
Royal.
And I don't know why they use the plural. So they call it the Royal Release Salamones, which would be more than one Salamon. But that is the official name of it. And this is a big, honking, massive luxury masterpiece. 8 1/4 inches by 54.
Yep.
MSRP $150. Looks like a penis. So
we're going to Vanna
White. We're going to light this up and smoke it and then tell you a little bit more about it.
By the way, even in the cello, it looks pretty intimidating. Like,
it does. I think it looks better in the cello.
Alright, hold on.
I actually like it better in the cello.
Yeah. That, what would we say? There's a few different... I don't know. I need to figure out the names, but the names of the cellos. I'm gonna call this, like, Clear Plus.
Yeah, it's like Clear Plus cello, but also yeah. it kind of diffuses the light to where the cigar looks smoother and...
Mm-hmm.
Impressive, and then when you open it up,
has the barest tint of yellow to it.
It does kind of look like it came out of a sarcophagus in Egypt.
Nice. At a Pharaoh Rocher's sarcophagus.
Yeah. So this is a lot of surface area, which means the opportunity to pick on it more. It looks pretty good. It's definitely a rustic wrapper. I don't like how the cap is joined up here. Because it's hard to roll stick. And I got just a little leaf bump right there. Those probably have a name, but
yeah.
If you've ever seen the raw tobacco.
That's what we did here.
It's a gorgeous shape.
It
very,
is.
Very shape is gorgeous. Roll. You don't see these very often. There's a reason why.
Yeah.
Tends to certainly change and enhance the flavor of the blend. Less likely to run into construction issues because it takes very experienced and talented rollers to make these.
Notice it does say Salamones on the side of the band.
Salamones.
So they didn't just reuse the Davidoff band from the Royal Release.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Because this does come in the non-Salamones. Why don't we go ahead and cut and light this cigar? I'm going to cut with my Craftsman's Bench open-ended double guillotine.
Euro.
A great choice for this Vitola.
You're
Tom?
A monster. You're a monster.
Calibri!
You're
works
a monster.
On everything.
You're a monster.
Well, we're about to test that theory. And you've also got the Craftsman's Bench. Okay, the official cutting is brought to you by Lord Baltimore Distributors. The official cutting is brought to you by Lord Baltimore Distributors. Featuring proprietary blends available nowhere else, Lord Baltimore Distributors are meticulously crafted boutique cigars made in small batches for every palate. Lord Baltimore Distributors. When only the best will do. And as always, we're reminded to clip that cigar with authority. No limp wristed cutting allowed on Burn Line Podcast.
Yep.
And we're just going to tap that ash.
I'm sure we're going to cut this probably a hair more later.
Well.
I usually do with a sucker.
That's pretty impressive, Tom. Got a little bit of tobacco coming out of that.
It's a tight draw.
Well, yeah, it is. It's a closed
I
fucking
know.
Foot. So, why don't we go ahead and light these up? I've got my flat dual flame jet, and Tommy, you've got your quad torch.
Jet line, beat up all to hell.
Yep.
New York quad, you can't kill them.
Same.
Okay.
Ready to go.
The official lighting is brought to you by 2C Premium Coffee.
The official lighting is brought to you by 2C Premium Coffee. Keep your day fueled with delicious coffee from 2C Premium Coffee. Featuring select beans from Bali, Kenya, Ethiopia, and around the world, 2C Premium utilizes continual roasting, so you are always getting a truly fresh cup of premium coffee. 2C Premium Coffee, morning made us.
And as always, we remind you, toasted, not roasted. Treat that cigar with the love and respect it deserves, and it will return the flavor. So, one of the things with these Vitolas, and of course, it's not just the Salamone, but you don't want to burn the fucking nipple off, right? So I've seen guys do this where they just take that torch and they're like, it won't draw, and they just are fucking roasting the shit out of, just burning off the nipple. Just light it, take a few puffs, get the air over it. It will burn itself away eventually without all of the acridness that comes from, you know, trying to blowtorch it. So,
yeah. And theoretically, with that small of a surface area, it's match worthy. But you better be skilled.
The biggest benefit to this Vitola or, you know, like the short story, for example, but anything with this little nipple on the end, is in theory, you can just hold a match up there. Now, you know, my theory is like, either use the match to light a spill or burn all the sulfur off. You don't want to suck that into your butt. But you can just have anything. And you just hold it there, draw it in a little bit, and you're fine. And it'll light itself all the way evenly. So that's kind of the benefit of that nipple. Possibly not worth paying for these days, given the ubiquity of high-quality butane torches. It certainly looks cool as shit.
Yeah, it looks cartoony, like early, like 1900s.
Yeah, it has a Great Gatsby vibe to it, I think. Monopoly a little Man. Bit.
Greeny, black and white.
Yeah.
Monopoly Man, kind of.
Now, see here, sir, what we're going to do here. We're going to take over the world, you and I.
Yeah, see?
My dear boy, I had 5 slugs of bourbon in me, and 1 real slug.
Makes you want to shove a grapefruit in a lady's face.
I don't know that line.
It's from a Jimmy Cagney movie.
It's a Jimmy Cagney movie.
Don't know.
Oh, fuck, they have grapefruit.
I don't even know who Jimmy Cagney is.
I had 5 slugs in me. 1 was lead and 4 of them was bourbon. My name is Trigger Fast, and I'm a private eye. All right, a little bit about this cigar. So this is the Davidoff Royal Release Salamones. 8.25x54, MSRP of $150, and you're not going to see it marked up too much, but you sure as fuck aren't going to see it marked down anytime soon. And quite a price raise. The original was, what, $100, Tom?
Yes.
$100, so 50% increase in price. So what is special about this cigar? Well, for starters, it has an Aromatica Dominicana leaf, which that's not like an official breed or strain, that's branding. But Davidoff does say that this is not available on any other Davidoff cigar. It has an Ecuadorian Habano binder and filler that includes Criollo Ligero and San Vicente. So a little bit of a thoughtful blend. And all of the tobaccos are specially selected, aged for 8 years, and every single one of these, Salamones, is hand-rolled by 1 of 8 expert rollers at the Davidoff factory. So there's only 8 people that roll these. And as you mentioned, Tom, it's a hard fucker to roll. So,
do you know how many they produced?
I do not.
Can't think a lot.
Might need to clip this a little bit more.
No, but these are like periodic limited releases. We're like, they'll do a limited release and then come out with them again, limited release.
Oh, you have to cut again?
Yeah.
Not me.
Yeah, I should have used a deep V, Angel.
No.
Yeah, that is the good thing, though, is you can work your way up if you need to. Mm-hmm. I would recommend that you start out, you know, clipping off too little rather than too much.
That's what I like to do.
Work your way up. Any kind of torpedo. Like, I try to get it right the first time, but I err on the side of not enough. Yeah. Instead of the other way around.
And what I like to do is give it a little bit of an angle. That way I get some more surface area without killing too much of the...
Yeah. Well, we're just getting to the point where it's opening up full. At which point we can talk about flavor. But while we're still puffing on it a little bit, you know, this is definitely a big man cigar. Like, you know, it's expensive. It's not gaudy, but, you know, it's kind of ostentatious isn't the right word. But you know what I mean. It's like
it's a having statement.
It's a statement. It's like having a crystal chandelier in your foyer. Like, it's not, like, it's not necessarily overdone, but it's definitely a statement, right? And then, of course, the Vitola fucking puts it over the edge.
Yeah.
Because these come in a regular Parejo. This is not a Parejo. This is a fuck you Vitola, which I love.
It really is.
And famously, like most Davidoffs, has a medium strength. I did not pre-smoke one for the show. They're too expensive for that. So we're all going to get our sort of raw, unfiltered reactions.
Yep.
Now, if we have a real standout, we'll know someone got a bad one, right? Because we're smoking three of them on the show. But unlike last week where I smoked like 10 or something, I pretty much nailed that. I had that cigar down. Not so with this one. Don't have the budget for that.
Much different flavor and feel on the secondhand smoke versus the retrohale.
Correct.
Mm-hmm.
Much smoother on the retrohale.
Very smooth. Like, no impact whatsoever when you retrohale it. In the nose, there's no stinging, burning harshness.
I know, there's no acridity.
No acridity.
No acridity.
All right, so, yeah, we have burned these down to where they're basically, well, you're burning unevenly. Mm-hmm. You might want to touch the top up. But they're...
I'm trying to avoid doing that with this guy.
Yeah, I hear you.
Yeah.
But they're basically opened up. So yeah. I think we can do some initial tasting notes for everybody. So why don't we go around the horn. Tom, what do you have?
I'm feeling that this is in the neighborhood of a 4 to a 5 power cigar. Very subtle, certainly a cigar you want to smoke first in the day to catch the nuances as they go. It's already been a few little tweaks and twangs on the flavor. There's some kind of a hay note in there, in the middle of it. A very, very subtle spice.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure, can't nail it down exactly what variety of pepper that is, but it's... definitely got something in there. You can tell it's a very aged tobacco. The smoothness, nothing but age replicates that.
There we go.
It's enjoyable. Very enjoyable.
So, yeah, I would say 4, 4.5 for strength. Cool draw. Now, of course, the cigar is fucking 8 miles long, so that's part of it. But the feeling of the smoke on the palate is sort of silky and cool.
Mm-hmm.
Very interesting experience. The spice that I'm getting is very citrus adjacent. So there's a little... you're right, it's very subtle. Very subtle, like, hey, there is a lemon grove near you. There's a very subtle... I'm walking past a field of freshly mown grass.
Mm-hmm. What does it say?
A little cedar. And there's a little bit for me right now of like mineral earth. Not like dirt, but little mineral earth.
Light and sandy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, definitely some sweet hay component. Lemongrass for sure.
Oh, that's a good combo of flavors.
Yeah,
there
you go.
Yeah, that's a good call. Because there is a hint of citrus
and orangey.
Yeah. There's a hint of citrus and a hint of grass. Lemongrass nailed it. I'm also clipping a little bit more off, mostly because I got spit in it.
Mm-hmm. Calibri Deep V gives me a wider surface area. Particularly on a torpedo. That's specifically when I love a V-cut is on a torpedo.
Well, it looks like it's working out.
Doubles down.
Yeah. It looks like it's working out. You got a big surface area without...
Compromising
the shoulder, yeah.
All right, I'll give you this one this time.
Okay, so we are smoking the Davidoff Royal Release Salamones. This is a big fucking statement cigar. I wore my Boss polo just for the...
for all the fellas out there.
Just for the cigar. For all the fellas out there. I think, you know... I think for this cigar, it's worth talking about. If you buy this cigar, why did you buy it? You know, keeping in mind our audience, why would you buy this? What context would you smoke it in? What would you expect? So that we can rank it later a little more accurately, right? So I one of the reasons we're smoking this is because there's plenty of folks that watch the show that are interested in cigars like this that are not going to plunk down $150 for a cigar. We got plenty of listeners that will, for the right one. But this isn't the kind of cult following you get with, like, some of the Opus X's and special editions like that. I don't think it has that cult following. I think that this is a cigar that folks buy, like, I want a fucking splurge. Like, I got my caviar... I got my Royal Release Salamones. I got my expensive spirits. And, you know, I got a boat pass in the... Yeah.
Down the Seine.
No, not the Seine, but, you know, Annapolis Harbor. You know, okay, we got our, we got our boat rental.
I was going to say, Seine's pretty...
So Tom is mixing up for us some gin and tonics. I think that goes, right?
We're going to find out.
And we are enjoying Covalent Spirits Gin, which is a fantastic gin. And, Andrew, you got to taste this. I know you're going to try it. But you at least try it.
Yep, I'm going to. Got to do it for the show.
Yeah. But great choice, Tom, to pair with this cigar, I think.
Thank you, Tom.
You want a nuanced flavor with a very nuanced cigar.
Cilantro. That's pretty good.
That goes well with that.
It really does.
This also has a lemony citrus.
Yeah, and a floralish boutique.
Yeah.
That's weird.
Palate cleansing.
And it's refreshing. You know, that's the cool thing about gin and tonic is like it's like a summery drink.
So what exactly is gin?
Gin is a distilled spirit that is known for its botanicals, particularly juniper, although the juniper is very light in Covalent's gin.
Give them the video commercial.
We'll do,
Support your local distilleries.
Yeah, support your local distillery.
There you go, even sign, Jen and Drew.
Yep, right here in Westminster, Maryland, home of Covalent Spirits.
Yeah.
If you ever want to go down a rabbit hole, go to YouTube and, like, look up the Great Gin War.
What?
In Great Britain. Yeah, it was like their version of intemperance.
What year would this be? Like 16?
1860? Oh,
pretty late then.
It was fucking bullshit. It always is. It involves religious people and power politics.
It wasn't involving gin.
It was involving gin.
Oh. Yeah, because gin and vodka, you can make at home easily.
Mm-hmm.
You've heard the term bathtub gin?
Mm-hmm. Basically what happened was there was a bunch of foaming at the mouth, mostly women, religious, you know, and power politics used it to outlaw gin so that they could then come back and control all production and, you know, do what powerful people do. So very transparent to us, you know, like post-World War II, post-propaganda, you know, cynical Westerners. But it very interesting.
So I forgot the word. I'm sorry.
Bullshit.
Yes.
That's the word you're looking for.
Kind of like America's attempt at it.
Yeah.
Prohibition.
Yeah.
Thank you, Prohibition.
Similar to Prohibition.
Yes.
Let's give money to...
And the mafia says thank you.
Yeah. Okay, so obviously we're going to have to rank this cigar later. It has opened up. The smoke is a little stronger.
Yeah.
Than it was before. The nicotine doesn't feel strong at all.
Yeah.
Feels like a 3, but the actual smoke itself feels more like a 5.5 now.
I have a 4.5 at the moment.
I think my blended is like 4.5. But it's sharp. There's a sharpness. It's not pepper, but it's sharp. I love the nuanced flavor. I really do. Like, this is a little bit of a gentleman's cigar. You have to savor it and pay attention. Mm-hmm. It's not punching you in the throat.
It's punching you in the wallet.
It is punching you in the wallet. Yeah, for sure. I do like the gin pairing. The gin and tonic is a good pairing.
This cigar is, back to your earlier discussion, it's a great treat yourself if you have the means. Also a certainly gift worthy.
Absolutely, yeah.
And particularly the audience flavor-wise, you know, the money's a separate issue, but flavor-wise, for your buddy that smokes nothing but mild, and you want to sit down, you know, for the holidays, birthday, wedding, whatever, and give them something a little meatier, and that is still going to be exceedingly smooth.
Yeah, not getting green around the gills. Yeah. Yes, absolutely approachable, I think. You know, if I were to compare this to, like, an Opus X, for example... This is, what, 4 points less strong?
Oh, yeah.
Something like that?
Yeah, you can't throw an Opus at newbies. Yeah.
Yep. So, to
seen,
give
seen
our...
many times how quickly they turn green.
Yeah. Yeah. To give our listeners a little bit of a context of strength on this. It's, 4 or 5 points less strong than an Opus.
Definitely.
The body, though, is interesting because I think the body of the smoke, for me, is hard to describe. It has presence on the palate, like a full-bodied, but it's not, like, chewy.
The smoke is super light.
It's, like, silky. Like, you can feel it all over your palate.
Part of me wants to say it's a 3. Part of me wants to say this is a 5, 5.5.
Right.
Put it together, you're 4, 4.5.
You can definitely sense the smoke on your palate. It's like drawing a silk handkerchief through your mouth. So it has a lot more presence than some of the cigars we've smoked. The smoke has more presence.
Wait, what do you do?
It's not like
the word?
Thick and chewy. So, all right. So let's do socials and surprises. You are our marketing plan. If you think we add value to the cigar industry, please like, share, subscribe, comment, whatever you can do to juice the algo and get the word out. We love serving you guys. We love smoking cigars, but you know, one of the things we talked about when we started the show was what would we want to listen to when we were a little bit less far down the road, right? And we hope we still add value to folks that have been smoking for a while. We just need your help. So we're asking for your help. 5-star review if you listen on iTunes or whatever. That really helps. And guess what? We have an ashtray winner.
Nice.
So last week we put out a contest. Go to Instagram. And a lot of you did. I mean, a lot of people joined the contest. And we will reveal the winner on Instagram as well, which, you know, makes sense because we got to DM you and send you your stuff. So, congratulations on that. Noah writes to us from the Contact Us link. I've been smoking cigars for a few years, but only just started buying enough that I need my own humidor. The only problem is they never seem to smoke right. I looked up something on YouTube and bought a nice humidor, which I seasoned before using and only humidify my sticks with distilled water. Nevertheless, the cigars all seem a bit spongy and hard to burn. What am I doing wrong? So, a couple of notes before I turn it over to Tom. First of all, I don't recommend seasoning a humidor. You don't need to do that. And you do risk introducing mold accidentally. I've seen it a few times. I would also recommend propylene glycol instead of water. Sure, it's distilled, but that doesn't mean you're not going to grow shit in it. Propylene glycol will not grow shit. Spongy and hard to burn. Tom, what is Noah doing wrong?
His cigars are over-humidified. You know, a lot of guys get stuck on whatever percentage they think is right for them, and, you know, it's subjective, yada, yada, yada. But your cigars, when you squeeze a cigar, it should go in and bounce back. If it goes in and feels like it's going to crack, you're on the dry side of life. If you squeeze it in and it doesn't bounce back, you're on the too moist side. Mm. The relevant dangers of either end of that spectrum are your Churchill will last you 30 minutes if it's too dry, or you'll never get it lit and it'll last you 4 days.
Right, right.
Shoot for the middle of the road.
So, Noah, it sounds like your cigars are a little too humidified. Back off on that a little bit. And you could also just take your cigar out and set it on the counter for an hour. If you're really feeling adventurous, throw it in the refrigerator for an hour. That'll suck the moisture right out. And then let it warm back up after that.
I can recommend Bovita packs, too, that because they have them at enough different percentages that whatever the magic hue is, it will either put moisture in or take moisture out of the environment to keep it at that specific percentage.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, it sounds like he's still new enough, he needs to figure out what percentage he still likes, other than he doesn't like moist.
So maybe throw a couple of 62% Bovedas in?
Yeah, see how it goes.
See how it goes?
And particularly kind of this time of year, too, heading into the colder months, it's, you know, humidors change throughout the seasons, and winter is one of the toughest seasons.
Well, thanks for that. Why don't we go ahead and take our first break? When we come back, we will do our tobacconist tip of the week. Keep your dial locked in to Burnline Podcast.
If you're smoking something like this, are you still a little tight on your draw?
I'm good now. It's fully opened up.
Yeah. Well, also concerning the email from earlier, sometimes you got to help your cigar out. You know, depending if it's too dry, or not too dry, but tightly packed or something like this. Maybe. I wouldn't try it on something this expensive, but what I would definitely try to do is maybe use a draw poker. But you got to be just a little bit skilled to be able to use a draw poker. You can't just go in there, shove it in there, and pull it out, because you run the risk of damaging your cigar.
You definitely want the ones with the guide rails.
Yes. Yes, you don't poke out the side.
Yeah.
Yep. Done that a few times with a repurposed paperclip.
Yeah, I haven't had the experience, the one with the barbs on it. That seems a little too barbaric. I don't know if you've used that one yet.
Seen them and I'm scared to use one.
Yeah, because I'm like, ooh, I don't know why you would want that.
Is it like pull tobacco out?
Yeah.
One hook on a twig and you're
yeah.
You just reamed the whole cigar.
Yeah, it's just, you hook a stem and you're done.
Yeah.
So, that's just, you know, caution on using that.
Well, you can trust in Davidoff. They are the world's number one luxury cigar maker. Part of why they have that title is every cigar they make goes through 13 quality checkpoints. They do not send out a cigar that is not perfect.
Yep. That is one thing you can count on with Davidoff. And my cigar is holding up to that promise. Mm-hmm. It is behaving exactly the way I would expect a cigar to behave. So while we're talking about that...
I don't know why... Like, I get it even, and then it goes.
Well, just keep it touched up, buddy. Yep. Why don't we go ahead and talk about Davidoff? So, this week we are smoking the Davidoff Royal Release Salamones, $150, 8.25x54, massive stick. And it's unlikely that we have audience members that have not heard of Davidoff. Mm-hmm. It is very likely we have audience members that haven't or very rarely smoked Davidoff, partly because they are expensive, partly because they're not in everybody's wheelhouse.
What's your low end, like $40?
No, you can get $18 Davidoffs. 18. Yeah, but not much lower than that.
Yeah. What, the 2000 Corona?
Yeah. Yeah, most of them are in the low 20s right now. That would be like your Churchill late hour, stuff like that. So what about Davidoff? Well, the Davidoff family were Russian Jewish immigrants, and they opened a cigar shop in Geneva, Switzerland, in 1911. Ooh. Now, the centerpiece of the Davidoff story is Zeno Davidoff. Now, his given name was Susel Meyer Davidoff. And he was born in 1906 while the family still lived near Kyiv, which was under the Russian Empire. So back then, you still had the Tsars.
Yep.
This was pre-Soviet Union. Mm-hmm. So you had the Russian Empire conquering all kinds of stuff, including Ukraine. And then, well, the Soviets just took over and expanded, you know. So it was not Ukraine, like an independent country back then.
Right.
There's not a lot of reliable information about Davidoff's early years. And so you'll read that he was born in Kyiv. Most reliable sources say a small hamlet near Kyiv. And of course, records weren't great back then either. But interestingly, so he was born in 1906. In 1924, so that would make him 18, mm-hmm. he traveled to Latin America to learn about the industry. He spent most of his time in Argentina, Brazil, and Cuba. Interesting choices. So 6 years later, I guess he spent like 2 years in each country or something. Six mm-hmm. years later, he returns to Geneva. And here's what's interesting. He recognized the difference between how Latin America stored their cigars and Europe. Basically, in Argentina, Brazil, and Cuba, people just stored stacks of cigars on top of a desk, or maybe in the cigar box or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's humid. Yeah. And if you do that in Geneva, your shit's going to dry out.
Yes.
Guess what he invented? The first desktop humidor.
Whoa.
So there you go. That's a pretty big part of cigar culture these days. Credit goes to Zeno Davidoff. So he was already thinking about the industry and all of that. Now, 9 years later, World War II kicks off. During World War II, the Geneva shop served as a very important source of cigars and cigarettes, including the people that were in conflict. And one of the ways that this sort of developed was in 1939, French cigarette giant Saita offered Zeno the chance to buy 2 million Havana cigarettes. So they were scared about the war, had a bunch of inventory, and wanted to offload it. So Zeno had to seek financing. He couldn't afford 2 million Havana cigarettes, but he did. Didn't pass up on that one, and ended up spreading these Havana cigarettes to Allied and Axis troops. Remember, it's Switzerland. They can do stuff like this, right? And so the war ended up spreading the Davidoff name across the entire world. So in true Swiss fashion, he provided smokes to all sides of the Eastern conflict. So in 1946, shortly after World War II ended, Zeno met with a Cuban committee to explore the idea of manufacturing his own products in Cuba. Some of this is very mixed information mm-hmm. that's out there. The sources that I trust the most indicate that Monterey factory made the Chateau series that we're going to talk about. And also, some of his sticks were made in the, I forget the name of the factory, but it made the Cohibas mm-hmm. and Fidel's personal smokes. In 1947, the Luxury Chateau series was introduced, and they were named after Bordeaux wine estates. Really established the brand's luxury status. So, you know, cigarettes, at the time, there was kind of a hierarchy and kind of luxury cigarettes, but they were still cigarettes, right? Gentlemen smoked cigars. The Chateau series was kind of the best of the best, mm-hmm. and they were branded after luxury and sold as luxury smokes, and that became really stuck to the Davidoff name. In 1970, the company was acquired by the Max Ottinger Company, who retained Zeno Davidoff as ambassador. So I imagine he cleaned up a little on that deal. Mm-hmm. And Max is another fellow we got to talk about. Mm-hmm. And that company goes back to the 18-somethings. But Davidoff just chugged along. In the late 80s, Davidoff brand, which is now a Max Ottinger brand, they just had a disagreement with the Cuban government. And, you know, not too many details there, but as you might expect, it boiled down to the communist government wanting money. Wanting their cut.
Gang control.
Typical gangster fashion, you know. So in 1991, the company ceased all production in Cuba and moved to the Dominican Republic. At this point, the Chateau series was renamed Grand Cru, and they opened up a factory in Santiago, Dominican Republic.
Nice.
All Davidoff cigars since then are produced at their factory in the Dominican Republic. In 2006, the company was acquired by Imperial Tobacco, which owns the brand to this day. Imperial also owns fragrances, pipes, a lot of stuff adjacent to the industry. Zeno passed away in 1994, so he did not see the handoff to Imperial Tobacco.
And he lived quite a long time.
He did. That is pretty much Davidoff. Since 2006, nothing has really changed. And our, you know, current cigar that we're enjoying, all the Davidoffs are produced at their factory in DR. I think one of the hallmarks of Davidoff is, of course, it is a luxury brand, and you pay for that luxury. In terms of, like, taste, flavor profile, they're known for being mild, aromatic, traditional Cuban sort of flavor profiles, with the exception that most of the Cubans I'm familiar with are stronger, mm-hmm. particularly nicotine content stronger. But Davidoff has done a great job of mimicking, like, the traditional Cuban luxury cigar experience. And then the other, more scuttlebutt than anything else, you know, just reputation in the industry sort of thing is, you know, they're a big, giant fucking corporation, and they're kind of, you know, they have that culture, you know, corporate culture. So it's a little different from, you know, a smaller company. Even a
family-owned.
Yeah, even a huge family-owned company like Perdomo.
Placencia.
Yeah. Behaves a little bit differently, right? And there's positives and negatives depending on how you look at it. You know, some people dislike the hagiography and worship around people with the last name Fuente, mm-hmm. for example, in that company, and prefer the more corporate, no, we're just all Davidoff. And then other people like the, hey, this guy knows my name and sent my kids to school
mm-hmm.
thing, right? So pros and cons of both, but in terms of leverage in the industry, Davidoff is an 800-pound gorilla, and they mm-hmm. kind of get their way with a lot of stuff, including tobacco pricing and distribution and stuff like that.
I was going to say, they have the most of the European/Middle East distribution handled.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd say that, you know, follows along with their flavor profile, as well, it is Cuban-esque. Europe, by and large, has a much lower nicotine preference than mm-hmm. Americans do.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of why they've not been the home run here, mm-hmm. but they are elsewhere. It is, you can't knock their quality, it's just that their flavor for us is like, meh.
Yeah, yeah, it's on the light side. Now, I love light floral and aromatic, but I would contrast this with a Casa Cuba, it is a Fuente product. It's similar. It's light, aromatic, Cuban-esque, but it punches like a Bahique in the nicotine content. Whereas this does not, right? So speaking of this does not, why don't we go ahead and update our rabid fans out there. Of course, unless we make this show 3 hours long, I don't think we're going to finish this cigar, right? I'm just maybe getting to the second, third.
Mm-hmm.
That sound about right?
Yeah, I'm puffing it pretty hard to get along with it.
So,
still relatively cool, by the way.
Yeah, it's burning very cool. Let's talk about flavor notes.
Kind of picking up a little more earth
mm-hmm.
than I am the lemongrass of before.
Mm-hmm. Definitely have a honey note in there. Interesting, kind of dancing in and out, sweetness.
It's right at the very front.
Yep, right on the tip of the tongue.
This is a phenomenally nuanced cigar.
It is. And it's a really enjoyable flavor. Like, it's well-balanced between... there's sort of a... I'm going to call it like a graham cracker element in the sense of... You know how graham crackers are bland without being boring?
Yes.
There's like this graham cracker element with just these hints of like... I think somebody walked by with a pepper grinder. I think somebody walked by with... you know, a jar of honey that was open. I think somebody just walked by with a plate of fruit, right?
Yeah, I would say like a white pepper.
Yeah, there's a little, just a suggestion, you know, yeah. White Pepper Bay.
Yeah.
You know, walking by.
An old White Pepper Bay.
Yeah.
Sight out in the drying sun and dried up.
I'm at a 4 right now for strength. The only thing that I wish from this cigar, I wish there was more. The flavor is great, but I wish there was more of it. I wouldn't mind a denser smoke as well.
Do like a really slow retro. And as it's dancing through, I'm getting a hint of cucumber. It's weird.
I don't think it's the gin.
It's not
the gin. I see what you're saying.
Been drinking the gin.
Yeah. But it's another one of those nuances that kind of dances in and out, and you kind of have to catch it.
Mm-hmm.
So I think for our more sophisticated smokers, they're really going to enjoy this cigar because
cool
it's like
cucumber, yeah.
It's like hunting, you know.
Yeah, this is definitely one of those cigars flavor where you're sitting down intentionally smoking this and not. Mm-hmm.
I will say,
any
of all these flavors that we're bringing up, if you chase them,
they go away.
Yeah. It's the will-o-wisp of cigars.
There's something from the vegetable garden in there as well. Something else besides the cucumber.
Yeah, but it's not like vegetal.
Yeah, that's what it's not. It's something in the garden.
There's also like if you pull the smoke down to like the very back of your throat, like around your tonsils and adenoids.
Okay.
There's a really interesting flavor that is reminiscent of like a rare steak bite. Like if you took a little 1-inch cube of filet mignon, rare.
Yeah, it's meaty.
But you gotta go hunting for it.
Mm-hmm.
And the smoke has to be in the right position of your mouth. Now, the retrohale is getting a little sharper. There's a little more white pepper in it, I think. I think this is a great cigar for, like, the cigar aficionado that wants to, like, experiment with their palate.
Yeah.
It's very enjoyable.
It's a good exercise.
Yeah. Like, they're all good flavors. They play well together.
Yeah, I buy this for $40 or $50.
Yeah, I mean we'll have to talk about that, you know, in the value section, because you can't separate it from the fucking monster price tag.
And it is a great blend. A little milder than I generally prefer, but I'd probably do one or two a year.
Mm-hmm.
If it was in my price range. This yeah. one.
Yeah. Yeah, I think it is fun. How does it make you feel? Do you feel like a big man?
I feel sophisticated, so.
Well, it kind of has to. Like, that's the promise it needs to deliver on, right? I know we're not ranking it yet, but.
This is, you know, in my mind, group of 2 to 4 guys, or you're reading a book you really enjoy.
Yeah.
This is not a party cigar.
Yeah, this is like...
And if there's other guys smoking it, they gotta be smoking it too.
Yeah, like, we're cigar snobs. This is a... We three cigar snobs.
I feel like room. This is where we're sitting. You ready? We're sitting at the last 2 hours left at the Casablanca.
Play it, Sam.
Sam's over there playing the piano. We're sipping on our spirits.
Gin and tonic, of course. Oh, while we're on the topic... There's no way in hell that I would pair this with a scotch or a bourbon. It's just way too light and nuanced. You just murder it.
Yeah. So that's our recommendation. Definitely not something...
I would pair this with Perrier. Just straight up.
Close to it. Just
not necessarily, like, but...
carbonated water.
Yeah, not necessarily, because that tends to be, like, salty and dry my palate.
You know what else I might throw on that list is some pulled it out of the freezer, Grey Goose... citrus.
Yeah, I can see that.
Because that's somewhere between orange and lemon.
Yeah, I could see that.
And a very light, chase it, you can't find it flavor.
Yeah, I was going to say, there's a distillery up in Pennsylvania, and they have like a rose hip vodka. That would be amazing out of a freezer with this. Or anything that is like... you know, these boutique vodkas where they include botanicals like blueberry, but it's not blueberry flavor. Like if you get your, you know, your main line, big name
maybe vodkas. Something like that? Mason Dixon Distillery.
Yeah, Mason Dixon Distillery.
Is that what you were talking
That's
about?
That's what I was talking
okay.
about.
And not that I've ever seen it, a pear vodka.
Mm-hmm.
Because pears are very subtle.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, it can't be anything overpowering.
Yeah, a little tartness might help.
Yeah, a little tart might... Okay, there's something weird going on here. It's almost like I'm puffing on the cigar and somebody just ran by with a to-go box of Indian food.
Mm-hmm.
It's funny because I had pumpkin pie.
Hmm.
Yeah, it's
all
like,
of a sudden just hit me. I'm like,
it's like almost
pumpkin pie might work with this.
Yeah, it's like almost every draw is something different. Like there's something there.
It's a very, very nuanced cigar. You know, it kind of reminds me of... Alec Bradley's Fine and Rare.
Mm-hmm.
You know, with 10 different tobaccos, the thing does nothing but tap dance all
yeah,
the
yeah.
whole way.
Well, I guess it's fair to say it's a complex.
I got a hint of mahogany there.
Oh, that's interesting. I had been having wood flavors. I think it was cedar. Then I had oak.
Mm-hmm.
And then every once in a while, I get a little hit of wood.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a lot heavier than oak.
Yeah.
That's why I was thinking it was mahogany. That's what I'm thinking.
I think this is the cast of Anchorman, like, on a yacht in the Caribbean, just being big, just living large.
Rolling burgundy.
Yeah.
I can't do the looks. You probably can
do it. One of them won the stupid lotto.
And one of them won the stupid lotto.
We're on the... we're with Anchorman on the Prestige Worldwide.
Yeah, on the Prestige Worldwide.
Two wrong white references.
So,
or not wrong.
I think it's time to take our break. When we come back, we'll do our cigar news of the week. Keep it locked in, Burnline Podcast.
Cigar News of the Week with Angel Solorio.
All right, now we're back. News of the Week. All right, Lunar New Year is pretty soon arriving, so time for the next whatever everything. So Placenta is going to be releasing, of course, a calendar one, the horse. So it's El Año del Caballo in Spanish.
So you're the horse. So any lawsuits around this one?
No, I think they're still in. It's crazy.
They're still arguing about the dragon one.
Yeah, we're still two. Yeah, we're right. Two away removed from
China's
it.
China's the only one that can win that one.
Right.
So El Año del Caballo, which is Spanish for horse, so we just said it. It's going to be a 7x58 vitola.
Woo! Mm-hmm. That is a horse.
That is a horse. A horse. Yeah.
Member. A horse member.
A horse member.
Definitely a horse member.
All right, the rapper's going to be grown in the Jalapa region of Nicaragua over a Nicaraguan binder and fillers from Honduras and Nicaragua. So, strain probably not going to be released, obviously.
Interesting.
Yeah.
That sounds intentional. I'm not sure if I like it.
And, I mean, look at that. That is a big stick.
Yeah, that's a big horse member right there.
That is a good big horse member. But honestly, an approachable price. So 6,000 boxes of 10 with an MSRP of $59.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a Placencia. Damn, that's almost like...
I mean, $60.
What was the Ometepe? 100?
Yeah.
And then, did we do the Year of the Dragon?
Yeah, well, we did a Year of the Dragon episode. I don't think we smoked that one. I think we displayed it.
Yeah. But,
Okay, so another Chinese Zodiac cigar coming out.
And then somebody will get sued. And then, okay, you guys have probably smoked these. I've heard of them, never touched one, never seen one in person. High Clare Castle, Senger? 2025 will begin shipping. It is pretty cool looking because it comes in this, this will rustle your Jimmy's arm, not. But it looks like a sarcophagus.
It is.
Ooh, yeah. Egyptian. Nice.
Egyptian sarcophagus.
It took 3 years to acquire one of those empty boxes.
Yeah. It's got a pretty cool scarab, the winged scarab on the top.
I like Highclere Castle. I think their Connecticut is amazing.
I've never had one. I would love to have one. Yeah, seriously.
Oh, we should smoke one on the show.
Yes. So it's going to be a 6¾x52 Perfecto.
Tom, who distributes Highclere Castle?
Oh, it's Foundation.
Foundation.
Yes. All right. Get ready to take a shot.
Ecuadorian wrapper.
So, it's going to be an Ecuadorian Habano wrapper.
Cheers.
Brazilian Matafina binder. Ooh. And undisclosed binder, or fillers, my apologies. Undisclosed fillers.
Interesting.
They're going to be coming out of AJ Fernandez's factory in Nicaragua. So, that is going to be cool as shit.
Seems like he is resurfacing after the fire of the spring.
Yeah,
things are back to 90-something%.
Seems like it.
Yeah, man, like, that was kind of scary when I first read it. I was like, oh fuck, yeah. Everything was going. I saw the video.
It made some potholes in the summer.
Yes, yeah.
I can assure you.
I know everybody was, like, scrambling and, like, oh fuck, making phone calls and shit, but, yeah. Glad that's over with. We're good there. So, CLE is releasing their 25th anniversary TAA. So, we smoked the 24, I believe.
We smoked one of them, yeah.
We smoked a TAA, either 23 or 24, which is fucking great. And obviously, he does a TAA release every time. So, 6x54 Toro.
I think that just went on this weekend, TAA.
Yeah.
Did it?
I think so.
Where was it at?
A lot of guys were in the air. Santo Domingo?
Santo Domingo?
Yeah, that sounds right.
All right. MSRP of 1906. And a bunch of other TA releases by the normals. So there's no point in mentioning that because it's almost all of them.
You know, I would say, though, the focus is, you know, when I first started in this industry, those were always unique blends, and it was a lot of fun. And then it transitioned to,
we made a
Toro Plus.
Yeah.
The same exact blend you've been smoking.
Yeah.
All right.
There's still some that make the unique blends. Jump on those.
Yeah. This is the last one. This is both your thing here. So, Essie DuPont and Arturo Fuente collab here. So, add to your collection, but it's got a super Johnny Midas price to it. So, Essie DuPont is going to be releasing an Opus X branded ST.
Okay. Lighter?
Lighter.
Okay, Opus X, brand new lighter, which they've done before.
Right. So, do you want to guess the MSRP?
$1,000
$5,000
$5,000 Ooh, a little high.
$2,000
So, $2,595
Okay, that's about right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
To Maryland means $5,000
$5,000 that's right. So, it's they're all numbered, and there's only 288 of them. So, super expensive. I mean, they're cool. It's got all the...
Yeah. Yeah, DuPont makes a great lighter.
Is that going to the museum?
I doubt it. I mean, I've got a good lighter, and it might. It might
just happen next time. All right. It's going in the museum.
Wait, hold on. We're not done with that Johnny Midas price. They also have an edition that comes with a bobblehead of Fuente together. Do you want to guess that one? It's a little statue.
Well, I know what a bobblehead is.
The next question is, little bobblehead or the big bobblehead?
It's like about this big. So what are we thinking on that?
I mean, it's the lighter and the bobblehead. $2,599.
We're going $3,200.
You're off by $20,000.
Jesus, Mary and Joseph.
$20,000?
$23,500.
For a bobblehead?
Yes, sir. And there's only 88 of them made.
$23,500.
Yeah, I'm going with a hard no on that. What is it, made out of platinum?
The lighter and the bobblehead?
Yes.
That better have the right size hole for its mouth.
That is for, like, the ultimate collector.
And
like,
self-cleaning.
Yeah. It better be made of actual gold.
All right, we are smoking the Davidoff Royal Release Salamones. This 8.25x54 monster. We're like halfway done.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to go ahead and rank it because you guys are not going to keep listening while we finish smoking this. So why don't we go ahead and jump right in. Presentation. Now, I don't have the box, obviously. I mean, frankly, I can't afford a box.
Fuck, how much is
the box? Expensive as fuck.
Expensive as fuck.
10 count?
Yeah.
All right, so $1,300, if you're lucky.
Yeah.
Shit.
But it's beautiful, and I'll put a picture up on the screen for everybody. I had an 8 for presentation. It's nice. It's not, like, amazing. Actually, the Series JJ 20th Anniversary was a nicer presentation. But it is nice.
It is a statement.
It is a statement.
I agree.
It is very classically simple, but it is nothing on it says, grab me, smoke me. Mm-hmm. Like, oh, that's cool. Look at that.
And the box is the same. A little elegant, understated. You know, like a 1991 S-Class. It'd be a little bit of a stretch to call it beautiful. It's classy, understated. I think I'm at an 8.
One must presume the box is also a reliable humidor.
Yeah, well,
at that price point,
most of your it doesn't have a built-in humidifier, but yes, you could use it to it fits these big cigars in it, which is a bonus, but it doesn't really
10 sticks in a Boveda pack.
Throw a Boveda pack in there, I think you'd be fine. So we're going with 8 for presentation.
Yeah.
Alright, so let's talk about price value. We might camp out here a little longer than usual. It's a delicious and different cigar. The problem is at this price tag, you're competing with a lot of shit. So you're competing with pretty much the vast majority of, like, the Fuente Opus X special releases. There's some that are more expensive than this. We had the Ometepe, $100. I mean, this is 50% more than that. You know, you just go down the line of the cigars you could buy instead, and for a lot of them, more than one, all the way down to a $20, $25 Plasencia that you can buy 6 of, right? Like, you can have a whole fucking cigar party with a very nice 6-0 or something, you know? And so, where I'm at, it just can't fucking compete at this price tag. It's overpriced by $100. I'm at a 3 for price. So I'd love to hear you guys disagree with me.
Two.
Oh, you've got a 2?
Yeah.
Two.
All right, two it is. Yeah, I mean, it's just overpriced. Great cigar, not at this price point.
And it kind of makes me want to, while it is delightfully nuanced and I've been enjoying it, I now want to go smoke. It's like, oh, that's a great appetizer.
Yeah,
now
yeah,
I want something
yeah.
to fill me up.
Yeah, there is a little bit of that where it's not quite
this
strong
enough.
This
is like the best salad on the planet.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, it's a great appetizer.
It's correct. A it's a good analogy. And it's too much. Mm. Like, it's
yeah,
too
I'm
much
tired
cigar.
Of eating salad now.
Yeah, you're exactly right. I'm halfway through and I'm over here like, man, a Hemingway would be amazing right now.
Sorry, is this over yet? Not because it's bad, just because it's good.
Yeah, yeah. No, you're right. It's like it's like when Olive Garden brings you the bowl of salad to the table and you're like, what the fuck? No one, you know, I can't eat that. You know? Interesting.
Before the show, I had said I had smoked one 8 or 10 years ago, and halfway through it, I got tired of it and put it down. I've reached that point again.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, it's a good call out. Like, it is too much cigar, I think, for what you're getting. It would be really cool if they could design this in such a way that it started to pick up strength and change, like,
or
turn into a course meal.
This exact same blend in a Corona.
Corona would be perfect. I would pay $50 for a Corona of this. I would not pay $150 for this. Or a Corona. It's too small. or many. There's not, you know, other than the collectability factor, there's no cigar I'd pay $150 for.
Mm-hmm.
We said last couple weeks ago, I would absolutely, if I had the budget, buy the Mirafell Liberté CRA 2025 again because it was so good. I would pay $125 for it. This is not that.
This is a great cigar if you're going to have a 3-cigar night, and this is where you start if you light up half an hour before happy hour
yeah.
starts.
Yeah, and it's still too much cigar.
Yeah.
Like,
again,
halfway through, yeah, halfway through, it's like, okay, it's time for the stronger one. All right, so that brings us to construction. I mean, I've got a 10, beautifully constructed, no issues.
Yeah, agreed.
10?
10.
Yep.
Stab it off. Stab it off only releases 10s, construction-wise.
Not terrible. All right, that brings us to flavor. So flavor's interesting. I love this cigar. Like, it's so different. You know, I can't point to anything else and say, oh, this reminds me of that, or mm-hmm. whatever. Very unique. The one thing that I will say is, I'm just guessing here, the vast majority of my friends who smoke cigars, this isn't quite enough.
Mm-hmm.
And so the comment that I had, you know, smoking it was, I love all the flavors, but they're a little bit too far out of reach. There's just not enough. I want, when I'm smoking a cigar like this, I want a big, chewy mouthful of smoke with an explosion of flavor, and it's not there. So this is the LaCroix of cigars. Like, delicious, but it's just a hint of flavor.
Yeah,
right?
You have all the flavors of a great, you know, 3-day-old Maryland crab soup
mm-hmm.
that dance around the edges, but you don't have that bite up the middle that says, yeah.
There it is. Yeah, so I'm actually at like a 7 for flavor. You know, I could maybe go higher than that. Probably wouldn't go lower. That's kind of where I'm at. Angel, what do you think?
Yeah, I was thinking 7, 8, right around there. It was like definitely an attention grabber. Like,
yeah, yeah.
It wasn't boring.
I'll go 7.5 because it is a unique flavor. They've also added the complexity of to make a cigar stay the same strength. You have to build it weaker as it goes.
Mm-hmm.
And they did this because this has not gone out of that somewhere between a 4 and a 5 zone
yeah.
overall.
Yeah. Yep.
So, well blended.
There's a reason only 8 people in the world can roll this cigar.
Yes.
Right? Okay, I'll give that an 8 then.
Yeah. By the way, band test was good.
Yeah, band test is good. Davidoff is usually really good with their bands. You know who's not good is Christoph. I need to have a combo with Glenn. Those motherfuckers.
The freaking Cedar Slip.
Yeah, well,
that's a lost cause. I was at a Rocky Patel event, and I pulled off a white label my wife was smoking, and
took a big chunk of
quarter size of a dime. A
yeah.
wrapper came off.
Yeah.
I'm not bringing it to his attention. He's having a night.
Yeah. All right, so that brings us to experience. This is another one, you know, we might have to camp out a little bit, because if I buy this cigar, first of all, the use case is limited to cigar snobs enjoying it together. Gift, for sure. Celebration, for sure. It is shareable with people that don't smoke cigars a lot. So, you know, you can buy other expensive high-end cigars and just, you know, really punch somebody in the throat with them. You're not going to do that with this one. So,
And we don't recommend doing that, by the way.
And we don't, you know, so...
because you love it. Don't right. give it to your guy right. who smokes two a year.
Yeah, so you're... You know, your buddy just got promoted to CEO, and he smokes on the golf course twice a year. You don't get him, you know, that Opus X or something. This would be a great choice, right? So, all that to say, extremely limited use case. And I would add, this cigar better make you feel like a fucking god. For $150, you need to sit down and feel like a big man.
Yeah.
Did it deliver on that promise? What do you guys think?
I think it did.
I think I'm a big man sitting on a beach in a Philly shirt.
Okay.
Close.
I feel like a guy on a procedural run.
Yeah, I tend to agree. I think that the Vitola presentation, flavors, all of that is a sophisticated luxury experience. I think they kind of nailed that. It is limited, and so I've got an 8 for experience because I can't really do anything else with it. I think what it, you know, the intended use case, I think it's very good at. I just think that that use case is too narrow, and to sort of put an exclamation point on it, which one of us three is going to buy a second one of these?
Not I.
I'm going to agree with everything you said, but in my brain, that puts it at a 6.
Okay. Angel?
I'm going to say 4 or 5 because it's just super limited.
Okay, so you're at 4 or 5. You're at 6. I'm at 8, so 6.
Okay.
Right? Split it down the middle?
Yeah.
It nails what it's designed for, but that's a very, very limited usage.
Yeah, fair enough. So the final score for this, Davidoff Royal Release Salamones, 8.25x54 is 34.
Okay.
So mid-30s. Not a terrible showing. Obviously, we've had cigars that scored way better.
Yeah.
And then, you know, I just can't help thinking about, like, the diesel.
Yeah.
It's like, for $150, I can buy more than a box.
Box and a half.
A box and a half. And have a fucking amazing smoke that doesn't last too long.
Mm-hmm.
And so you're getting, you know, 80% of the flavor. You know, it's not, doesn't ring luxury bell, but we smoke cigars all the time, you know? And then if I really feel like, no, I want to be a big man, well, I can pick up a Casa Fuente for under $20, you know? So, I think the price point is off-putting, and it limits the experience.
Yeah,
and
it really holds it back.
Yeah, it does. But presentation, construction, and flavor were great. You know, not my wheelhouse for flavor. Like I said, it left me wanting more, but it's so beautiful and nuanced and different. I think any cigar smoker is going to enjoy, like, exploring it a little bit. As long as they approach the cigar with that mentality of, this is subtle.
Davidoff does have good bean counters. I'm sure they made just the right amount that, with the help of the holidays, it'll sell out.
Yeah, I'm sure.
But if you have the means... Yeah. Do it.
Go for it. All right, that wraps this episode. Thanks so much for joining us on Burnline Podcast. Keep it smoky, my friends.
I can't. It's not even like that theirs is bad. I'm just not a fan of gin. That club soda is good, though. I can taste that.
Well, you gotta be more sophisticated in your taste because, you know, I'm being serious. Like, you have to think, what's your game plan for life?
Yeah.
And someday you're going to be hanging out in a crowd of guys that drinks gin and tonics and whatever.
Yeah.
You can, the best part about being powerful is you can like and drink whatever you want. Mm-hmm. But doesn't hurt to suck it up for the team once in a while.
Yeah.
And behave like what you want to be. Well,
and how old are you?
32.
You're going to reach a certain age where there's a lot less new things in life. So the way to go find new things is revisit what you whacked off the fucking list before.
Yeah.
Your palate has changed. That's very true. It works out about 50-50. Nope, kale still sucks. Yeah. Oysters, the right gin, the right tequila, winner.
Yeah. Very true. Although some of it has to do with, like, actually knowing how to cook. Like, I fucking hated Brussels sprouts growing up.
Well, yeah, if you do them right, they're fantastic.
I toss them in a bag with olive oil, salt, pepper, just a touch of garlic powder.
That's just seaweed.
Yeah. Stick them in the under the broiler till they're, the outside is, like, crispy and slightly charred. Oh, they're amazing, right?
Kale ruins bacon and cheese. I've tried it.
In 2004, do you know who the number one purchaser of kale was?
Hillary Clinton.
Pizza Hut. It was just garnish. It's literally not edible. You're not supposed to eat it. It tears up your intestines.
I'll go with that.
Some self-loathing hippie decided, like, hey, you can eat this.
Is it because of the heavy fiber?
Yeah, like, your body can't break it down. It actually scars your
belly. It has too much vitamins in it, really.
I don't know. You can't access them because you can't digest it.